I want us to pray. I want us to give thanks. You know, one of the responses of those who believe in Christ is to be thankful. And a lot of times we don't get thankful till we hit crisis. And then we start, you know what? I guarantee you, and y'all lift these folks up in prayer on the East Coast, I guarantee you they're a lot more thankful this week for things than they were last week for things. You know, when we hit a crisis, you know, we start becoming thankful. I want to thank God for our choir. I'm glad they're back. They're off summer break. And so they'll be worshiping with us. And I'm glad that you're here today. A lot of y'all getting the summer. The summer is winding down. It's just got to do it, folks. But you know what? I'm excited about this fall season, what God's going to do here. There's going to be a lot of harvest going on. And so I'm thankful for you. I see you all inviting your friends and people you want to know Christ. And you're here and you're loving people. And God's just going to do some exciting things. So I just want to offer prayer thanks, all right? Oh, did anybody tell you all God stocks a week after Labor Day? Has anybody told you all that? Everybody's coming, right? Now, this is a great thing to bring your friends to that won't go to church. Amen. Because you say, hey, will you go to the lake with me? Yeah, that's honest. We're being honest. We got integrity. You know, hey, come on, come up the lake with me. You're gonna hear some good news about Jesus. I'm praying. We're praying. I want you to pray with me that we see over 100 people baptized. Okay. Now, some people say this. They go, well, Pastor Steve, that's scary. What if that doesn't happen? Well, we can't say we hadn't tried. I know it's not going to happen if we don't have a kind of vision. And those are very small numbers to the way God thinks. God thinks in thousands. But I say, let's start somewhere and take it from there, okay? I mean, I personally would like to see Pentecost. I'd love to see over 3,000 baptized a day. We got enough water to do it up there. All right, we ain't got to worry about changing that water. Another right there, Barren River Lake. And I want to tell you one story how important that is. It was a young boy, he's 12 years old, and on Saturday night at Godstock, man, his parents brought him, he came with his friends, and he got convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit drew him to salvation. That young boy lost his life 3 weeks ago in a car accident. So that's how serious this message is. So sometimes when you all look at me and you say, why are you revved up all the time? Why are you always in people's face? Because I want you to know without the blood of Jesus, there is no hope. Okay? And I get a short amount of time to talk to all you beautiful people. And guess what? The rest of the time, the news is going to talk to you and everybody else is going to talk to you. And you're going to hear all these philosophies. And guess what? They're screaming that you can make it on your own. And you can't make it on your own. You especially can't make it into heaven on your own. Does that make sense? Our good works aren't enough. How many of y'all have come to that conclusion? And watch here. I'll give you a simple logic thing. Has poverty been solved yet? We spend billions and billions and millions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions. Now we're into trillions and trillions and trillions to solve poverty. And it's not solved. You know why? It's not a material issue. It's a heart issue. It's a spirit. And so we're going to talk about that today, okay? All right, get this in your heads. Look up. Look up. Look up. Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful today. Anybody else thankful today in the name of Jesus? We're thankful as a church today, Lord. And in this prayer, we just offer a prayer. Thanks, Lord. I'm thankful for everybody that's coming to this house today. Lord, there are no accidents. Everybody's here for a reason today. Lord, even if they showed up today and they've never been to church and they wonder why they're sitting in church today, it's because, God, you have something you want to tell them. And so, Lord, I pray that you open our ears. I pray that we've already heard it. We'll receive it. And then we'll live it out in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to work. Now listen, you got to learn to look up. We've kind of had a three-part sermon here, okay, with Stephen. First thing, you got to get a face like an angel. Now, some of you young ladies, you already got a pretty face, but I'm talking about angel face, remember? In the midst of controversy, Stephen appeared to have a face as an angel. Now, guess what that clues us into? Stephen's going to operate out of the spiritual instead of the natural. Does that make sense? And then we notice that Stephen's very knowledgeable because he begins to give a speech before his adversaries, those that are against him. He lays out their whole history, the history of the Jewish people from the creation of God till the moment that Jesus arrives. And he tells them, and you have always persecuted the prophets. Why do people persecute prophets? That's exactly right, Dr. Earl. They tell the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. You know, one of the people that I get mad at, I mean, can just get furious at, is my wife, Elizabeth. I can get mad at her and anybody else walks the face of the earth. You know why? She tells me the truth. I can get other people to tell me what I want to hear. She's lived with me so long, she'll go, you know that's not right. You know, you're just carrying on, and you know what you got to do. And I'm like, ugh. Why? What's she telling me? Truth. Now, here's what I want you to know about truth. Truth stings for a moment, but truth will set you free. Now, here's why, Raj, this is why we struggle with truth. It's why we struggle with truth, Richard. We struggle with truth because I want you to evaluate some things. We live in a culture that craves comfort. Would you agree with me? I mean, I have a truck that talks to me. My truck talks. It's a truck. Trucks should not talk. Trucks should be trucks. My truck talks to me. I mean, you push the button. I'd like, you know, country music. And it goes, which artist? I have a talking truck. Back in the 60s, if I'd have told somebody, my truck talks to me, they'd go, you need to quit smoking stuff. I live in a day and age where technology, Sheriff, my truck talks to me. I go down the road and it used to be my wife giving me directions. Now it's some other woman on a GPS and I get mad at her too. Y'all having these same dilemmas? You see, we crave comfort. Now hold on. Here's the problem with craving comfort. You can never get it all the time. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, that's right. Come on, we're going to work on it. That's right. See, I want y'all to get convinced. You can't get comfort all the time. Watch, I'm going to say, now be honest with me. Y'all are working good today. The Holy Spirit's in here today. How many of you have been uncomfortable at least one time so far in your journey of life? Raise your hand. See, I told you. So if you're seeking comfort, you're always going to find confusion. Now, you baby boomers, I love y'all, but listen, we've run the experiment. It didn't work. We try to make everybody comfortable, and all we got is a bunch of debt and a lot of confusion. Now, don't be panicked about that. Once again, we can't save ourselves. Amen. Even the chaos points to Jesus. Even the chaos points to who? Jesus. Eventually, we'll conclude, only who? Jesus. Now, if you're going to follow Jesus, it will not always be comfortable, but it'll be life-changing. There's just some uncomfortable moments in life. In fact, let me show you, if you're thinking you're just so special today, your mama was uncomfortable when she had you. You made your mama uncomfortable. You weren't even here yet, and you made your mama uncomfortable for 9 months. You were a pain to your mama. And for some reason, there's this supernatural thing that happens to moms. As soon as they get a child, they look up and go, I love you. What did I say? They look what? Up at that child. Now, we're going to talk about looking up today instead of looking out. I'm going to challenge you with Stephen. He does something incredible. He's in front of the Sanhedrin. He's told them that they always persecute the prophets. They won't listen to God, and they get very angry. Have you all ever seen people get very angry? They are very angry. Let me show you how angry they are. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Y'all ever seen some teeth gnashing? You been to a ball game? You've been to a ball game, and on your team, if you're on your side, you're on your team, and your team starts losing, what do all the fans start doing? Come on, talk to me today. Listen, I've told y'all already, there's 127 churches y'all can go to and stare at the preacher. This is the only one that's interactive in this town, okay? So be interactive. This is about communicating. We're in this thing together. Didn't you all get tired of the big lecture and where the preacher went, and they gnashed their teeth at them, and y'all went, this is real. These people are, I mean, mad. Been in a ball game, your team starts losing, what happens? Teeth gnash. Who do you gnash it at? The coach. Exactly right. It's the coach's fault. No matter what goes on, it's the coach's fault. He's sorry. He should have never. It just starts. Everybody goes Pentecostal at a loss. Coach Riley, you ever had that happen to you? See, you're in a worse sport than I was. At least I got a fence, a track, and then the stands. Basketball coaches, they don't have, I mean, basketball coaches, and isn't it amazing if you observe some basketball, all the idiots sit on the front row. Now, I may have offended some people in here, okay? But they just start in it, gnashing. Same kind of tension here, but worse. Because guess what he's told the Sanhedrin? You know about God, but you don't know God. Ooh. Now, church, let me give you a severe, kind, and compassionate warning. This is religion in America. There's so many people that know about the facts of God, but don't know the heart of God. And they hang out in church. They can quote the Bible, but they can't feel the Bible. And you see, you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus to act like him. Even the devil can learn our theology. Even the devil can spit out memory verses. In fact, Pastor Mark, the devil knows Hebrew better than you and I. Because he used to tempt people in Hebrew all the time. He speaks all of our languages and knows all of our philosophies. And if you want to battle on an intellectual ground, the devil will whip you every time. Why? He's read all the books of all the libraries of the world. And guess what? He wrote a lot of them. Telling us to lean on ourselves instead of turn to who? To Jesus. The devil's only got one mission. Keep you away from Jesus. Because boy, if you get Jesus in you, no matter what he does, he cannot win. Anybody feel that power today? If you get Jesus in you, no matter what he does, he cannot win. He can get the Sanhedrin mad at you. And they're hotter than a firecracker. I mean, just gnashing their teeth. And they look at Stephen. But I want you to know, he's full of the same thing that you and I are full of. Look at here. They were furious at him. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. Hello. All right. The religious leaders are so mad they're gnashing their teeth. And what does Stephen turn to? Full of the what? I just want to make an observation. Propose to you. Is this what we're missing in our faith? We're full of programs. We're full of ideas. We're full of the next praise move. We're full of the next Colosseum movement. We're full of this, full of that, full of that. But you know what I find we're not full of? The Spirit! Not what we can do, but oh God, what would you do in us? I don't know about y'all. That scares the hell out of me. And it should. That's what it's designed to do. Because guess what? George, when you get full of the Spirit, here's the good news. There's no room left for hell. When you're full of the what? There's no room left. Stephen, he didn't want to retaliate. He's got the heart of Jesus in him. He wants to redeem. Because what's the heart of Jesus? To redeem. I just want to let you know, listen, if you're going to claim the name of Christ, and it's in every time, but especially in these times, you will be a controversial figure. I want you to know that there's people in this city that hate me. They don't dislike me. They hate me. You know why? I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I said, Pastor Ayers, how can you be so narrow-minded? I said like this, I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I believe the cross is the only way. I believe it's the only hope. I believe it is God himself in flesh. And I believe there's no other way. Well, I disagree with you. I said, you can because you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with what the Word of God says. And I trust the Word of God more than I do your very small observation of a lifetime. See, I figure something that's been around a long time that you can't run off is probably better than something I created for a moment. What do you think, Miller? This may blow you away, but Jesus has been around longer than the UK Wildcats. I know, Miller. Try to digest that. Jesus has been around longer than basketball and football. Jesus has been around longer than democracy. Jesus has been around longer than Republicans and Democrats and independents and all the other stuff we put our hope in. Jesus has been around longer than a dollar bill. And the way things are going, he'll be there long after it's gone. You see, Jesus, watch this. Some of you are going, what about gold? What about gold? What about gold? What about gold, Pastor? That's heaven's asphalt. What we treasure, God calls pavement. Now you got it. Anybody just rejoice there is something greater in this room than us? See, Stephen knows that. I mean, they're mad. They're coming at him. And he looks up to heaven. Oh, there it is. I've told you to have a face of an angel. That's the first sermon in this trilogy. Number two, last week we talked about don't be what? Thank y'all for listening. Chris Allen, you got that right. See, give him an A today, will you? No matter what else he does today, give him an A. So I'm sure you'll do something, but give him an A anyway. We're in grace. Forecast. Hey, thanks for not giving us a hurricane. People in New York don't like you right now. See what I'm saying? And who are they going to gnash their teeth against? There'll be people mad at the weather forecasting because they said the computer-generated program of the computer was going to go this way, and it went that way, and then it'll be somebody's fault. Guess where hurricanes go? Wherever they want to. But we are so, so deceived thinking we can control it all. That's the Sanhedrin. They wanted to control God. You know what Stephen wanted to do? Let God be released. Now, you want to grow up in the faith? It's not what you receive. It's what you release. You receive God. You release God. What's Stephen? Full of the Holy Spirit. Now, what direction did he go? Up. What do we do most of the time? We do. We look down. You all know I used to be a water skier. Now I'm a guy that holds onto a rope and prays that my body doesn't disintegrate. I've never in my life, the simplest things today cause pain. My elbows hurt. How do you have sore elbows? What do you do to elbows? The other day, I'm on the computer and all of a sudden my arm froze up. And I said, what are you doing? I told Elizabeth, I said, my elbows hurt. She said, you skied the other day. I said, what's that got to do with it? She said, honey, your body's not good. And I looked up and I said, honey, what I look at in the mirror is the heavenly body that I'll have one day. That's why I eat those Chips Ahoy all the time. Be careful. It hurt. Because you know what? I'm not going to be here forever. But God's Spirit will be. Now, guys, we look into things. We look around things. We look past things. We look in all kinds of different directions every day, don't we? Here's where a lot of us look, even those of us who claim ourselves spiritual. We look within instead of looking above. My hope cometh from heaven, not earth. A lot of you are leaders in here, and I'm going to encourage you. Stephen was a leader in the early church, and I'm going to encourage you to start looking up. Be full of the Spirit, looking up into heaven, and guess what he saw? He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing where? At the right hand of God in the midst of controversy and chaos and evil and anger and death. Stephen said, he who has redeemed me is the glory of God. How many of y'all glad to know that the same Jesus that stands in you is the same Jesus that stands at the right side of God? Look up. Terry Wicks, I don't want to call you out and I don't want to embarrass you. But I want to thank you for being my pastor through your struggle. Terry's got a medical situation. Now to hear Terry talk, it put most of y'all in therapy, let me tell you. So Jamie and I get the bright idea. We're going to be pastoral. And we call Terry up. Say, Terry, can you go have lunch with us? Well, you know, we wanted to encourage Terry. We love him. He's been a great brother. Well, we go and Terry encourages us. You know what I've learned about you, Terry? This sermon, to look up when the world says, look away. Wendy, and because he's looking up, you can't do nothing but raise your head. Because he won't let you what? He won't let you put, Terry Wicks won't let you put your head down. Wait a minute. You know what he told me? I said, Terry, how do you keep this positive attitude? And he goes, I believe what you preach. I go, that's a good idea. Now, hold on. We believe it. Come on. Listen, y'all know what I'm talking about. We're almighty until the pressure comes on. Hello? I mean, it's easy to sit in Bible study class and go, yeah, I believe God can do all things. But then it happens to us and we go, everything but that. In the midst of a struggle, look up. We want to look around. We want to look in. We want to look away. There's so many directions to go. But Stephen looks up into heaven and he sees who's positioned there. Jesus, the Son of God, the Redeemer of our soul, the power of all power, the Alpha and the Omega, the great Amen, the great I Am, the only one, the blood, the cross, the death, the resurrection, the hope, the Judge of all things. And he goes, when he realizes, Jason, who's standing there? He looks around at those folks. Y'all ain't so bad after all. Guess what they're going to do? Kill him. When Stephen sang that hymn that we sing in our era of time, though none go with me, I'll still would follow. No turning back. He actually lived it out. I know very few preachers today that'll stand in controversy. You ain't even got to get a rock out. You just got to go boo and tell them you're going to leave the church. And they have a total come apart. No, he stood. Religious people didn't like him. Religious people don't like me. Feelings mutual. You know why? That's why Paul got so frustrated in Galatians. You have traded in the glory and the mercy of God for something you've created. It even goes back into the First Testament. You have forsaken the glory of God for things made by the hands of humans. Be careful, there's a God that wants to redeem us all. Let him redeem you, folks. Stephen did not fight back. He looked up and surrendered to God. And look what he said. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Look. What was he saying to them? Look. Can't you see who I see? Isn't that what we do when we witness? Look. Can't you see that Jesus wants to save you? Look. Can't you see that the hope for that marriage is in Jesus? Look. Can't you see that that financial difficulty can be solved in Jesus Christ? Look. We ought to be a screaming look, church. Look. It's Jesus. One day we're going to do that. Chris, there's going to be a trumpet louder than those cows. A resounding sound from heaven. At the blast of a trumpet, just like it was in that ancient day in Israel when the shofar was blown and God was calling his people to the great temple, that echoing tone. And guess what all of us are going to say who are in Christ? Look, he is coming. Now, for those of us in Christ, guess what we're going to say? Daddy's home. And guess what everybody's going to do? Who refuse to follow Jesus. They're going to run. And I bet their citation will start with O. It is real. What do you think old Bill Maher will do? You reckon he'll interview the risen Christ on what's that show he's got now? What is it? Yeah, real what? Yeah. Yeah, he'll see some real time. All these crazy Christians believe in this great myth. I wonder what will happen when the great myth appears at the sound of a trumpet. Look! Now note this, Stephen doesn't want to fight these people. He wants them to see the Jesus that he follows. He wants all people to be redeemed. He doesn't want to take them out. He wants them to be blessed by Jesus. I'm telling you, church, if we get that spirit, man, the world changes. The spirit that says, you can take my life, but you cannot have my spirit. My spirit belongs to the one seated at the right hand of God. And no matter what you do to me, you can never have that. I live on in Jesus. You know what they did when they began to see? Obviously, Stephen was having a supernatural experience. Agree or not? What do you think? Now, this gets you in trouble. When the spirit leaks out of you, the world gets fearful. They want logic. They want to argue intellectually. We want to debate the issues. But all of a sudden, when the issue is finalized by the power of God's Holy Spirit, ooh. You know what they did? They covered their ears. They covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices, and then they rush at him. How many of y'all got your ears covered? Every Sunday, God's telling you something. He's telling you everything you can be. He's telling you how the Spirit would totally rework your life. How many of y'all sit there in marriage just stubborn as you can be? You say, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I do. I'm married. I understand. Well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. My wife tells me what to do. I understand. You know why she's doing that? She loves you. She wants the best for you. Didn't your mama try to tell you what to do? Why? Ladies, didn't your daddy tell you when you brought that date in the house? He's a bum. You know why he told you that? Because he did not want to continue to pay for you for the rest of his life. No, he told you that because he loved you. His spirit, the heart. I want the best. Come on, parents. Come on. How many of y'all want the best for your children in this room? I mean, you want the absolute best thing that they can possibly be. That's all you're going. No wonder our kids are in trouble. Go ahead. Yes, I want that. Now, hold on. Check up on this. If we can do that in humanity, I mean, even people that don't know Jesus want the best for their kids. It's natural. How much more does Jesus want the best for his children? He wants us living not our best lives now. He wants us living his life now. That's the problem with that title. My best life may be no life with Jesus. Because my best is not enough. Now once you get there, you'll get on. Look up. There he is. It's Jesus. Stephen's in the crowd. They're mad as hornets. In fact, they're swarming like hornets. And they've covered their ears. All young people, uncover your ears. There is a Holy Spirit pursuing this generation, wanting to bring you to grace and recovery and to reestablish you as a people of worth. But we're covering our ears. In fact, I would propose to you that we've covered our ears in this nation far too long. And that a lot of our problems have nothing to do with our politics. They have to do with we will cover our ears. We don't want to confront reality. The politicians say we kick the can down the road. But it's not that. We don't want to hear from the one that can change us. Well, they got mad. They dragged him out. They dragged him out, and guess what? They stoned him. They got rocks in their hand. Look what happened. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named... Oh. Now, I'm going to propose something to you. This is argued in theological times, but I believe the beginning of Saul's conversion started with a faithful man named Stephen. You know Saul later. He wrote like one third of the New Testament. he eventually came to know Christ, and we'll get into that in a few chapters here in Acts. But he starts with the clothes of a martyr laid at his feet. And guess what? At that moment, Saul was okay with it. Because as Jesus was proclaiming through Stephen, Saul was defending his religious system. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ is not a religious system. Don't you ever confine Jesus to a religious system. Jesus refuses to be a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a non-denominational, a charismatic, a Pentecostal, a Catholic. Jesus will not live by our terms, and thank him that he doesn't. He will not live by our confinements. He does not live by our standards. In fact, he washes us in his blood so we can live by his. Isn't that neat? Look up, look up. Look up, my brothers, my sisters. What did Paul have to do? While Stephen was looking up, Saul was looking down at his feet. All, hear this warning so you will be all religious systems created by humans will kill, including Christianity. Christianity has shed blood. You know why? Because it became a system. Jesus is not a system. He's a person. God didn't send a system in Jesus. He did send a system on the front end up on the hill to Moses, didn't he, Mark? He gave him 10 commandments, and what did we all learn? Unable to keep them. Is that all right, James? So just in case we got anybody here that thinks they can keep them, y'all just lean at each other and go, you didn't keep them either. Just go ahead, share that with each other. Just because I know I got some people going, well, I'm telling you what, Pastor Ayers, I ain't killed anybody. There's 10. And you just broke one when you said you'd kept them all. There's one that says don't bear false witness. How many of y'all have bared false witness? Guess what? False witness includes gossiping. Some of y'all need to go to Gossiping Anonymous. So we don't have that in the church. I wish we had that in the church. That's what church people are addicted to. Can you imagine that? Hello, my name is so-and-so. I can't keep from talking about everybody else. I don't know if it's true or not. I just like to share it. In fact, we're so into gossiping, we even have social networks now that aren't really social networks. They're Snoop networks. Y'all help me. You girls will know. What I think my daughter said it's called creeping on Facebook. People creep your Facebook. Is that right, Sam? Creepers. I see, back in my day, creepers were something else, but now they're creeping on Facebook. Why? Elizabeth's got one of those. I don't have one of those. Elizabeth goes, do you want a Facebook? I said, no, when I get home, I don't want to talk to any more people. I like to chill for a minute. I don't want Facebook. I don't want strawberry, blueberry. I do not want to be electronically hooked up all the time. Scares me. Because I know if something really happens bad to you medically, they hook you up to a bunch of electronic stuff. Don't want to be reminded of that. See? Why is Facebook so exciting? And I've seen stuff people put on there. It's crazy. Status. In the bathroom. Who cares? Well, who wants to know that stuff? Saw a dog cross the road. Man, get a life. Live. And if you're reading it, you need to get a life too. See, we're fascinated with each other. Hold on. What if we were fascinated with looking up? What would this world be like? If we had people like Stephen, because we're full of the same thing Stephen's full of, the Holy Spirit. And we could stand and say, wait, I'm going to look up. And in the name of Jesus, guess what he said to those people? I want to show you that he has the heart of Jesus. You know what? Even though they're going to kill him, he wants them to live. Hillview, I pray to God that will always be our spirit. We're not here to kill you. We want you to live and live on. And to do that, you got to look up. Pastor Mark, one of my brothers here who ministers in this city, is here today. Mark, I know at Forest Park, you want people to live on. I'm so proud of what God's done in you this year. I'm so proud of what God's doing in that church. And we got to live on together. I get excited when I see God leaping out of y'all. I got to preach for just a minute. Guess what? He wants to come out even stronger than you've ever seen. And we got to make a decision as a church. Frank, every time I pass you a place of business, you know what? I'm thankful for my Canadian brother who God brought from Canada where it's just extremely cold. And he brought him here. He thought on one mission and the mission has grown. It's just the way God does, isn't it, Pastor Frank? Just the way God does. All of you, God has a purpose. You say, well, I have to be like Stephen? You might. But Stephen would rather die to a temporary moment to proclaim eternity than to save himself. And you know why Stephen didn't have to save himself? Because Jesus had already saved him. So he looked to who saved him. And they threw the rocks at him. I want you to hear these words. They're supernatural. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my what? You know why he could pray that? They were one and the same. Isn't it interesting Stephen didn't say, receive my body? Because it was bloody and beat up. I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of glad to trade these bodies in. What do y'all think? I'm going to be good. I bet that's better than a new car. What do y'all think? One day we're just going to have it. I'm going to have six pack, big old shoulders. Sheriff, you're going to be able to run a 4.240. What do you think about that? Been a while since that happened, isn't it? See, you and I'll be out of business in heaven. There's no need for a sheriff in heaven. Isn't that great? There's no sin. There's no need for a preacher. Everybody up there is saved. Now, Keith, he doesn't get to retire. There's a lot of singing in heaven. Isn't that great? No need for Bible study teachers in heaven. Why? We know. We'll fully know as we're fully known. That's stuff for down here. So the only person, I tell Keith this all the time, so the only person that keeps on working is you, Keith. And I said, that's because you music guys ain't done a lot down here. You go, yeah, really. The choirs in heaven will sing, yes. The musicians will continue to sing to the glory of God. The preachers will cease. Law enforcement will cease. We'll need no more governments. There will be no, now hear how I say this. There will be no political parties in heaven because they won't be needed. And guess what? Heaven's not a democracy either. You go, how are we going to make money up there? You won't need any. Is that not going to be cool or what? Does everybody get a new car? You know what? I think we'll be so caught up in the glory of God, all this stuff we think about won't even be thought about. When you look what? Up. Isn't that going to be cool? It's not going to matter in heaven if you were black, white, green, polka-dotted, comboed, or whatever. All of these things, we're just a group of people that just paste labels on each other all the time. People say, I'm crazy. That's accurate. I'm so crazy, I want you to be crazy in love with Jesus. Stephen was. Guess what Stephen said? As rocks were hitting the brother. I wish I could tell y'all I'd be like this. I'm not sure. I'd probably throw a couple back. If this had been this Stephen, it'd be Stephen busted a couple heads and then said, Father, forgive me for busting their heads. Why do we want to retaliate? This scripture, man, Sam, I'm sorry. I had a heart of a linebacker that had to be redeemed. It's hard to be a linebacker and a follower of Jesus. Because to be a good linebacker, you got to crack heads. And Jesus changes hearts. And sometimes I'd get those two confused when I was younger. Jesus changes hearts. Always. They are killing him. Jesus, receive my spirit, says Stephen. Then he prays this. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. And his last words were releasing the grace and mercy of God into God's creation. Oh my God, may that be my last words. Father, may they see Jesus from the life you've given me. full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen looked up and went on, and the testimony of Jesus began to do its work. I think on a young man who had the clothes of murderers laying at his feet, had to take a serious intellectual examination. Who is this God that men will die for? He is the one and only God, the one we sung about this morning, the one that delivers us from evil, gives us our daily bread, the one whose kingdom will be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all for listening so well today. Now today, guys, there's a lot of people brought here today. Some of you were brought here for this exact moment. So I want everybody to hone in and don't do what? And be very careful, because the devil right now has got earmuffs on a lot of you. Right now the devil's lurking around. He's a sneaky little thing. And he's slimy, seedy. And when he gets to invitation time, you know what he wants to do? Johnny wants to go like this. He'll kind of come upside of you like this. He kind of strolls. Then he goes, don't hear the next part. Listen, coming to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most wonderful thing that could ever happen. Wednesday night, I was eating here at our Wednesday night supper, and a beautiful lady, she looked at me and she said, Pastor Steve, I had a Hillview encounter this week in town. I said, really? I said, what do you mean? She said, you know how you tell stories, people say stuff about this church? I said, well, they're numerous. What did you hear? She said, this lady looked at me and she goes, do you go to church? She said, yes, ma'am, I do go to church. I go to Hillview Heights Church. She goes, oh, that church is awful. She said, all they do is talk about Jesus and baptize people. I'll take that. I'll take that. Now, I did a little more prying, and I kind of figured out where this woman was coming from. And she's trapped in a religious system. She thinks being full of the Holy Spirit's jumping up and down. And if you don't jump up and down during worship, then you haven't had a Spirit-filled movement. The only problem with that, none of that's in the Bible. We made that up too. Makes us feel better about ourselves. You see, here's what you need to understand. Stephen was really mature. He knew who was holy. And it wasn't him. What did he do? He looked up to the one that is risen. Now, my friend, really my loved ones, I want you to know there's only one way to get saved. There's not another way. There's not a plan B, and I preach this every Sunday, and I pray all week long against it, because I know I'm in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I know that you all have been fed over a lifetime this sandwich that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. And that is a lie from hell. People who reject Jesus go to hell, and people who receive him live on. That's a different story, isn't it? Some of you are going, I'm good. I promise you, you're not. I know that disturbs a lot of you that are so invested in the human spirit. Well, I'm going to encourage you to come to reality today. This is where you're going to want to cover your ears. The human spirit cannot solve the human dilemma. The best we can do is temporarily appease each other. But we cannot eternally change each other. There's only one that can. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Anybody else here a sinner? Watch this. You've listened to a guy today. Hopefully you've listened to the Holy Spirit in me, but you've listened. I was a sinner. Michael, I wish I could tell you that I was a good boy all the time, but I call Michael the general. He's a quarterback for a football team. General, guess what? I wasn't always good. So what blew me away is that Jesus said, I love you enough, heirs, to save your sinful soul. I said, Jesus, the only way out of it for me is you. And he said, come on. Johnny Mosley, I remember the day you got saved. I remember the first time that I hunted with you. And we're in that old deer stand. And I said, Johnny, do you see anything? He said, it looks totally different up here, preacher. I said, why? He said, it's the first time I've hunted deer sober. Johnny, who changed your life, brother? The Lord. They all told you to quit drinking, didn't they? You didn't listen, though, did you? You had your ears covered, didn't you? And all of a sudden, guess what Jesus did? He pulled his hands off Johnny's ears and said, Johnny Mosley, I'm going to save you, boy. And he said, I'm tough, Lord. I'm from Hadley. And he said, let me tell you what, Moses. He said, Mosley, I'm from heaven. It's a tougher place than Hadley. That's real. I'm telling the truth, aren't I, Johnny? Y'all think I make up these preacher stories? Yeah. We didn't shoot a deer, but we had a good time, didn't we, Johnny? Johnny's particular. There was a little scrawny when I said, Johnny, I'd like to have that. He said, let that pass. See, he had Jesus in his heart. He saved that deer. Sheriff, I'd have probably missed him anyway, and then Johnny would be riding me about that, you know. Loving God. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Right there, it changes everything. Lord, I believe you died on a cross. You've risen from a grave. There's some of you today that need to ask Jesus in your life. There's some of you today that need to be baptized. Listen, I'm going over this and over this and over this for a reason. We talk about baptism not because we want to have a lot of baptisms. We talk about baptism because about 36 months ago, God cracked a bunch of pastors in his church and let them know this is a serious issue. Jesus was baptized. Early church people were baptized. And that goes for us too. It's not salvific, meaning this, the baptism doesn't save you, but I'm telling you what it does do that we've missed. It confirms that you understand that your old life is gone and your new life is risen. I hope every one of you have that experience if you've received Jesus. So let's open it up. Y'all ready to have altar? Listen, don't cover those ears today. Don't cover that heart today. Right now, I can already feel, I smell Big Macs. See, that's what the devil does. You go, I think I'm going to go eat. You need a new life. Young people, we got some new people here from Western. Man, I'm so excited. The semesters are all starting. You're all back in school. But guess what? Greatest thing can happen to you at West Kentucky University is that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do that as a freshman. Listen, young people, I love y'all. I got kids your all's age. I'm old now. Older. Listen to me. How stupid is this? To turn away from God in the 5 years that you set up your whole life. You know why I have to deal with a lot of divorces? Because those marriages were formed when young people weren't in tune with God. So why not just do it right the first time? It's cheaper, I'm telling you. But you got to be in tune with God. Does that make sense? You see, I'm coming after the devil's game. Because I know what he tells you. I'm young, I'm free, man. It's all cool, man. I'm going to like party, just have a big time. Everything be wide open. And then I'm going to settle down. What he forgets to tell you about is all the damage that goes on till you get ready to settle down. Hello? And I love you enough to tell you the truth, even if you get mad at me. I'd like to go to a church that tells me what I want to hear. Well, that's not church. Church is for us to hear what Jesus has got to say. And guess what he says this morning? I love every one of you. I forgive every one of you, says Jesus. I died on a cross so that you might be set free. Says who? And whoever needs to be saved, be saved. If you need to talk about baptism, we want to be very open to that. Godstock, Barren River Lake, it's going to be wide open baptism. I hope it's 1,000. We're praying for 100. Y'all got friends. Bring them. How many of you all have friends you know don't know Jesus? Why don't we get serious about that? Church, I'm going to push this a little bit to the next level. I'm just telling you what you can do with it. You can keep your earmuffs on or you can hear what God's saying. This is especially not a good time in the moment of human history to turn away from God. That's all I'm going to say about it. And if you'll look up, God will do amazing things. Some of y'all need to look into Jesus right now. You need to receive Him. You need to come and be baptized. Be obedient. Some of you need to say, God, I need to operate full of the Holy Spirit. So let's have an altar. Stand with me if you don't mind. Please come. Lord Jesus, those that are being saved right now, drawn by your Holy Spirit, bring them forward to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. May their sins be forgiven as you forgive. May mercy and grace be at this altar today. Now, church, if you have any need whatsoever, I'm going to ask you right now to start coming forward. Go ahead and make your way right now so it doesn't take forever at the altar, because God's ready. He's already moved. He's already moved. We're looking for, will you receive it and respond to it? Right now, God's heart's open for you, so come on, come on. He'll forgive you. He'll love you. Come on, church, as you come, come on. Don't stand there today, please. Don't stand there today. Don't stand there today. If you need to be saved, come on. Don't stand there today. I can't save you. I can't make you. But I can sure ask you in the name of Jesus, don't blow this opportunity today. Wide open today. Come on, church. Come on.